This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld. As many of you know, Tony has been in Cleveland helping to lead the charge regarding the GOP Platform Committee as a delegate from his home state of Louisiana. We believe that this year's GOP platform is now one of, if not the most conservative platforms in the modern era, protecting life, religious freedom, and natural marriage. However, the committee was not without its own internal battles. A wing of the committee who favored the radical LGBT agenda has tried to deceive other members by hijacking the platform, using a tactic called a minority report. Historian, founder of Wall Builders, and platform delegate from Texas, David Barton, joined Tony with the latest.
David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Great to be with you again, bro.
As we were departing yesterday or yesterday evening when things were wrapping up, there was all of a sudden buzz about a minority report, which was designed to say, all right, we don't agree with the major report and a number of signatures. In fact, CNN reported 37 people signed on to a minority report. Now, come to find out, they claimed that you were a part of that. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, but they were exactly right. I was a part of that. And CNN told me that what I signed on to was an LGBT measure to bring LGBT measures up on the floor at the convention. And I think it was very deliberate that CNN did not put any names out there when they had the names, because had they put my name out or so many others, people would say, no, this is a false report. You don't get the sensationalism. What had happened was, as we started the convention, our platform last time, I was on platform convention last time, as were you, was 62 pages. And it was a very good document, very conservative platform. There was some heavy-handed leverage applied by the nominee at times, but by and large, they left it alone, and it came out as what we would consider maybe one of the most conservative platforms in our lifetime. And so we come in this time, and we're looking at it probably being longer, because last time we weren't dealing with ISIS, we weren't dealing with Obama trade, we weren't dealing with executive orders like we have now, so many things. And so we thought it'd be longer, and we went back in our history, and a delegate from Utah, Boyd Matheson, looked back, and he said, you know, the original 1860 platform in which Abraham Lincoln got elected only had 17 planks. It was 1,200 words long. That's it. And so Boyd said, what if we kind of simplify the document, just boil it down to our principles? And so he worked with Larry Arn out of Hillsdale, and they got it boiled down to the same 17 principles, trying to keep it at 1,200 words like Lincoln had done. And so our effort was to see if we could get delegates that would be open to using that as maybe a preamble to the platform. We adopt the platform. It'll probably be 70 pages this time, but we adopt this preamble, where that we can give it out in one page to our neighbors and say, you know what, here's what we believe. Here's what we think is important for America. Here's the Declaration, the Constitution, all the good stuff. And so as this is coming to a close, they approached us and said, hey, we can get this as a preamble to the platform. We just need to sign this resolution. And so they gave us papers, and a bunch of us signed it. And they were going around the room saying, who signed it? You need to sign this. Well, at the end, when it came time to introduce this resolution, they suddenly say, oh, by the way, this is a minority report. And a minority report means you have to have 28 delegates, and what you're doing is telling the convention we want an open floor debate because we disagree with the platform that we have here. Well, we didn't disagree with it. We just want to include something simpler. And then these guys go to CNN and say, oh, look, we've got LGBT issues on the floor now. We're going to be able to... And so CNN runs with the story about how that one-third, 37 of the delegates support this LGBT measure for a fight on the floor of the issues. Well, Boyd and I put out an email this morning and said, we've all been deceived. You know what this is about. We wanted a preamble, and you all saw it, and we passed it around. Lots of people liked it. And so we're taking our name off this minority report, and we urge you to, and as of the time we're on right now, 26 people have pulled their name off there, so there is no minority report. There's nobody wanting to be part of this LGBT thing except just a handful of folks, but they wanted news coverage.
I mean, that is extremely deceptive. I mean, I know it's one thing to work through the legislative process and be aggressive, and we had that. I mean, no one kept them from repeatedly introducing amendments on the floor of the full committee to try to interject these issues or remove definitions of marriage and all of this. And they were resoundingly defeated by the delegates over and over and over. And so then to go around and get people to sign something in such a deceptive manner, I mean, to me, that just, it should show the American public what is really driving this agenda and how these folks operate.
Tony, you've been in politics for a while. You held elective office. You're now leading a great national organization that deals with traditional family values. Have you ever been called narrow-minded or single-issued? Sure, all of us have. We all been called that. Well, I'll tell you, we had 3 hours on Sunday. We had 12 hours on Monday, and we had 10 hours on Tuesday. So as I counted, that's 25 hours. Out of 25 hours, about 15 minutes encompassed LGBT issues. And it is significant that that is the only single issue that drives them. They turn the entire platform meeting into LGBT issues. They get CNN to run the story, and they call us narrow-minded and single-issued. My gosh, the only thing that was important to them in this thing was homosexual sex.
And what's disturbing about this, and what should send a message to Republican officials and others who keep saying, well, we got to have this big tent, we got to do all this, is that they're willing, by these actions, to derail the entire convention over something they know that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And it took the focus off the things that were important. I particularly was in the subcommittee on the Constitution, and man, the declaration we have of the Constitution, the principles of the Declaration, the language of the Constitution, what we did with First Amendment and Second Amendment and Fifth Amendment, Ninth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, we got a powerful platform. And you're in the family section, and what you guys did was so many. I've heard it called that this is the most conservative platform in modern history, and I believe that. I think that's probably true. All of that went under the bus. None of that's in the discussion. None of that's being talked about. It's all about one issue, and what we said about military, what we said about ISIS, what we said about getting regulatory agencies under control, don't let them make law, let it be the House and the Senate, what we said about executive orders, what we said about the energy grid, what we said about all of the above kind of energy, none of that.
Well, hopefully the rest of the country will see that as well and understand what's driving this agenda. David Barton, thanks so much for joining us, and good work on the platform.
You too, sir. You did a great job. God bless you.
You can find out more about David Barton and the Wall Builders Ministry when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we return, we'll hear from the youngest member of the platform committee. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch. The family is the heart of our economy. It is the greatest generator of knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits of the individual. The vast majority of small businesses begin as family businesses, which eventually become the large businesses of the nation. Family Research Council believes that federal policymakers should take action to help moms and dads better provide for their children through tax reform. To learn more about our family-friendly tax proposals, visit frc.org/taxes. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Several voices made up this year's GOP platform committee. One of them, a delegate from Virginia, was the youngest at this year's meeting, and his name is Tommy Valentine. Tommy was able to help strengthen the party's platform on life and natural marriage, as well as give insight as to what's important to his generation. Tommy joined Tony with his analysis.
Tommy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on. And again, great work the last couple of days on the platform. And I wanted to have you on, Tommy, in particular, because not only were you very articulate and vocal and engaged in the process, but you were the youngest delegate. Tell our listeners how old you are.
22 years old.
All right, 22. What got you involved in this type of stuff to where you would want to be a delegate to the Republican National convention and be a delegate on the platform committee?
Well, I'm a grassroots activist, and I have been pretty much my whole life. My mom has been heavily involved in the Right to Life movement and in Republican politics. And I really started taking on this sort of work on my own when I was 14 during the 2008 presidential election. And that year was the first time I worked the polls on election day. And then during high school, I ran a website about our local congressman, who was, about as far left as it gets, and was just a guy who constantly insulted those who disagree with him. He said some really inflammatory things. And, you know, the media wasn't reporting on what he was doing because they agreed with it. So I started this website about the congressman, exposing his record and what he was saying. And that website was very successful. And just over the years, I've been involved in various campaigns. And at my college campus, I'm the president of our Young Americans for Freedom chapter, where we've registered hundreds of young conservative students to vote in the last three elections. So I have a passion for it, and I care about our causes, and I ran at my local level as a delegate from my congressional district. I came in first out of 16 candidates, and then I ran to represent Virginia on the platform committee and won that easily. So it was an honor to represent Virginia and to be a voice for the younger generation.
Well, Tommy, let's talk about some of the issues that you addressed from the floor of the full committee. You talked about the life issue. You talked about the marriage issue. Are those issues that you think are of concern to your generation?
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that I spoke about on the floor of the platform committee was the fact that my generation is the most pro-life generation since before Roe versus Wade, at least. Even young people who might disagree with us and support same-sex marriage, they are avidly pro-life. We're always hearing about how the Republican Party needs to attract more young people. We need to change our positions on this and that. Well, how about we look at the positions we already have? We are the pro-life party, and young people are pro-life. We've grown up seeing sonograms. We've grown up meeting our brothers and sisters in a hospital 4 months before they're born because we see them on a sonogram, on an ultrasound. So this is one of the ways that we can attract young people, by pointing out how we are the pro-life party and the Democratic Party is very extreme on abortion. You know, in their platform, they're trying to call for taxpayer funding of abortion. They're getting more radical. And so this is an area where the Republican Party needs to call out the Democrats. And this is how we can attract young people, because they already agree with us. And it's time we stop, as Republicans, stop running away from the positions we have and started embracing them, because we don't need to change the positions to attract young people.
Tommy, in the end, when the platform was adopted, what were your thoughts about the final platform?
I thought it was excellent. As David said, I think it's the most conservative platform that we've seen in decades, at least. I think what your listeners need to know is that the media is pushing a narrative that the Republican Party is divided about same-sex marriage. There's a rift within the party. That's simply not true. Within the subcommittees, within the full committee, everybody was united that we need to protect natural marriage, that we need to protect the right to life. And it was a small, vocal minority who were out there really just as a media stunt to try to gain attention for themselves and their liberal position. And, of course, that's who all the reporters went to, is the liberal delegates, instead of the vast majority of conservative delegates who believe in natural marriage and the right to life. So I would tell your listeners, the media is, as usual, telling lies about what's really happening. The Republican Party is united. We stand for the right to life. We stand for natural marriage. We stand for religious liberty. And we stand for all the other conservative positions that you'll find in the platform. And I think people will be very, very happy with the result.
Well, and it is strongly articulated in that platform for the 2016 cycle, and in large part because of the efforts that you put forth, Tommy. Tommy, I have to tell you, you are one of the reasons that I have great confidence in the future of this country because of young people like you. So, Tommy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Tony.
You can find out more about Tommy and the Republican platform when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we return, Ken Klukowski from First Liberty Institute and Breitbart News joins us with his take on the committee meetings. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. The impact that the FRC team has made on this year's platform committee meetings cannot be understated. Whether through research or preparing amendments, everyone played a major role. Our next guest played one of the biggest. As an expert in constitutional law, Ken Klukowski's voice is always one that needs to be listened to, but one of his biggest roles was helping Tony with the radio program this week so Tony could focus on the platform battles. Senior counsel and director of strategic affairs for First Liberty Institute and legal editor for Breitbart News, Ken joined Tony with his thoughts on this year's GOP platform.
All right. You were there as well. You stepped out. We went late, but you stepped out to come do radio. But you watched this process as it went through. Your thoughts on? Well, I guess you gave your thoughts last night. But I want to. I guess let me refine that question. I want to talk about what I was talking with David Barton about earlier about the deception used to try to derail the platform by saying they were circulating a resolution to call for a preamble when, in fact, it was a minority report to try to open up this whole debate on the convention floor.
Yes, and there were, as I've mentioned on the show and I've mentioned on other shows over the past few days, and I have a news report up on Breitbart News talking about it, that there was a small number of delegates backed by billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Singer in New York, seeking to force to revolutionize the Republican Party to become one that is no longer welcoming and celebrating people of faith, and they were pushing a strident LGBT agenda to remove language regarding marriage, regarding respect for the right to be the First Amendment right to be able to live your life mm-hmm. according to your faith, and to be able to express your beliefs peaceably without fear of punishment, to remove that language and insert a bunch of LGBT language. And as you said earlier, all of those things were given a full and fair hearing. They were brought up for a vote, and by an overwhelming majority, the delegates there representing all of these different states, all the different parts of the country, people from all different walks of life, having respectfully listened and debated, voted those measures down and kept the Republican Party platform on solid footing in terms of welcoming and celebrating tens of millions of peaceful, honorable Americans of faith who hold to a millennia-old understanding of issues like marriage and family and the reason that the First Amendment of the Constitution is to protect freedom of conscience and speech.
The issue of religious freedom, one that you work on quite a bit, that was a prominent issue in the platform.
Huge.
Much bigger than it was 4 years ago. Of course, obviously, the problem has become more prominent.
Yes.
But the platform, I think, does a really good job addressing both the fundamental freedom, its importance, but also the threat.
Yeah, I work each day on religious liberty as senior counsel with First Liberty Institute and with our mutual friend Kelly Shackelford. And it is, you're exactly right. Now, we were involved in over 500 religious liberty matters last year. And thank God we have a success rate of over 90% on those issues. The things that we're having to defend right now in court are things that were inconceivable just 5 years ago. And so, yes, it is in response to unprecedented threats to America's founding freedom.
We are broadcasting live from Cleveland, Ohio, where the Republican convention will begin next week. This week was the Republican platform and rules. A lot going on here in Cleveland as the Republicans gather, as they do every 4 years, to select the nominee, set the rules for their party, and adopt a platform. And we've been working on that platform. I was elected as a delegate from my home state of Louisiana and was elected to be on the platform committee. So I've been doing that work. And one of the amendments, and Ken Kukowski joins me, and I'm going to ask him about this because I added this amendment in the subcommittee that I served on families and education and health care. This is the amendment. I'm going to read it exactly as it appears. And you're going to get something nobody else gets because this document has not yet been released. But I wrote this so I can release it to you. Quote, we support the right of parents to determine the proper medical treatment and therapy for their minor children. We support the right of parents to consent to medical treatment for their minor children and urge enactment of legislation that would require parental consent to transport their daughters across state lines for abortions. End quote. Ken, I'm going to ask you, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, it's that language seems just to be a general reference that if you're a parent and you have children who legally, because they're not of the age of legal consent, they can't enter into a contract for medical services. Now, the law does allow, in the case of emergencies, right, for medical personnel to be able to act. But short of that, before a medical professional, my wife is a practicing physician. I mean, before a medical professional can lay hands on you, they need your consent. If you're a child, you can't give that consent. So that is properly reserved for parents. Now, obviously, a big issue where that comes up right here is when it comes to abortion. The idea, right, of a child who is nonetheless old enough to become pregnant, but a teenager, not an adult, getting pregnant, whether they can undergo an invasive surgical procedure that could have severe health consequences and possibly render that young woman unable to have children for the rest of her life.
Not to mention the emotional.
Absolutely.
Effects.
That's saying that parents need to be involved when we're talking about children going under the knife.
And many states have either parental notification or parental consent laws when,
right,
it comes to abortion, so that a child cannot be subjected to an abortion without the parents being notified in some cases or receiving the consent. Of course, then we have what this calls for is prohibiting. What's been occurring is when a state has notification laws, they take the child, someone will take the minor across state lines to a state that does not have such provisions. And this,
right,
is simply calling for legislation that would require that same consent.
Yeah, I think that wording is plain on its face. I think it's something the American people support. You know, when you go from one state to another, you are leaving a sovereign state going to another state with all different laws. You know, children do not have, strangers don't have the right to take children into a different legal regime. This is about saying parents need to be involved in their children's lives and the law should respect that.
But that is not how that paragraph has been talked about on social media. And this goes back to my earlier conversation with David Barton about the LGBT community and their self-absorption and how everything is about them. In that paragraph, what they have said, and you can see this anywhere. Google it. If you're on social media, you see it. This is solely about reparative therapy for homosexuals.
You know, a wise boss that I once had told me that when you give a man a hammer, all he sees in life are nails. And for anyone to read it that way, I think if LGBT activists are saying that, then that shows that you can have plain language that would apply to dozens of different issues. And for some reason, they think that that's some sort of a dog whistle or code language that you are speaking to their issue and only their issue. That was a recurring theme throughout the debates. I mean,
right,
when there was a provision condemning Islamic terrorism, that we oppose Islamic terrorism. I would have thought that that was language that would unify everyone. Here, this is something we can unanimously agree upon. We oppose Islamic terrorism. And then you had a delegate, I believe from the state of New York, who insisted that we put in there, and especially against LGBT individuals.
That, quite frankly, was a turning point. And, you know, having been in the legislature and serving in a legislative body, it's like an organism. Right, it's like it begins to take on a personality, and over time it moves, and it's interesting. It's the dynamics of an organization. That was a turning point, because it was very clear at that point when we were talking about the victims of Islamic terrorism, and that language was offered on the floor, especially LGBT persons, or whatever the wording was. No one else. Only LGBT. And people, wait a minute, there are Yazidis, and this was in reference primarily to terrorism that's happening on foreign soil.
Right.
I mean, there are Christians, there are Muslims, there are Yazidis, there
that's
are
right.
many.
Tell the Christians who got beheaded in those hideous videos that we've seen pictures of that they were not special targets of terrorism. Go to Israel and tell Israelis that Jews are not the special targets of Islamic terrorism. I mean, it's that there's Islamic terrorists kill a whole bunch of different types of people, and they don't seem to be, and it's not especially anyone. I mean, these people are deadly threats, and yet the whole idea that you have to make everything about identity politics and one group of victims, it was disappointing. Yeah, the language that you have there is general language regarding parental rights in healthcare. I think any reasonable person would read it that way. Anyone who does not read it that way is just not being reasonable.
Well, and there you have it. Ken Kulkowski, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for filling in for me here in Cleveland as I'm hopping around.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's been a great pleasure.
Well, you can find out more about today's guests when you go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.